This is the teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples the evening before his crucifixion. So this was the last words to his disciples, the last teaching. So I'm sure there was much thought and reasons behind telling them what he did. So I'm reading from John 15, 1 to 17. It's about the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be... I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Jesus always explained things in parables, and people often ask why. Well, a picture is worth a thousand words. And you know, the subjects that Jesus used were everyday things that we were all familiar with, and his disciples were all familiar with them back then too. And it's a wonder to me that all these 2,000 odd years later, the parables that Jesus told are still things that's everyday for us too. The Lord Jesus shared the parable of the vine and the branches with his disciples, as I said, the evening before his crucifixion. Much is always emphasised about a person's last words. And as I said, this was Jesus' last teaching to his disciples before he went to the cross. So these words are very important. You know, he's the Son of Righteousness and the bright and morning star, yet he humbly compares himself with a vine. And Throughout Scripture, Jesus says, I am this and I am that, as he told his parables. And this is number seven, I am, like I am the vine. And this is the seventh one and the last one recorded in the Gospel of John. Fruitfulness is the result of Jesus' life being reproduced in a believer. You know, the word remain occurs 11 times in this chapter, 40 times in the entire Gospel, and 27 times in the epistles, in John's epistles. So it must be very important for Jesus. Often when we read Scripture, you notice repetition after repetition after repetition, and you often think, why is this being repeated and gone over and over? But I guess he understands that we don't always take notice and it doesn't always sink in, so he re-emphasises it. What does it mean to remain? He asked to remain in him. It can first mean to accept Jesus as our Saviour. It can also mean to continue or persevere in believing. And it can mean believing in loving obedience. We're to envisage the Lord Jesus as the vine, the true vine. God is the gardener. We are the branches. Some are growing through out on one side, some are growing out on the other. You may not enjoy gardening, but observance will tell you sometimes the branches get tangled up, overgrown, and they grow in all directions where they shouldn't, or they grow over the top of others. You know, we're the branches, and that's a clear pattern and description of how we are growing together. You know, God has his eye on all the branches and prunes them and watches over them so that nothing hurts them. Without faith, no one of God can come to, no life of God can come to anyone. Without the life of God, no real fruit can be produced. The Father desires fruit. This is mentioned 8 times in this chapter, so needless to say, it's to get our close attention too. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in him. A believer's continual abiding with Jesus and the indwelling of Jesus in a disciple results in abundant fruit. But in verse 6 it tells us, but those who don't believe face disaster. A branch without life is dead and cut off. It's worthless and therefore thrown into the fire and burned. What did Jesus mean by these symbolic words about vine branches being burned? Well, this seems these words have been interpreted in at least 3 ways. There's most probably lots of other views. The first one is the burned branches represents Christians who have lost their salvation. But this contradicts many other passages in the Bible, so we have to look a little further. And perhaps the burned branches represent Christians who will lose rewards but not salvation at the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus spoke of dead branches. Such a branch is thrown away and withers. And thirdly, burned branches could refer to professing Christians who, like Judas, are not genuinely saved and therefore are judged like a dead branch. A person without Christ is spiritually dead and therefore will be punished by eternal fire. Judas was with Jesus. He seemed like a branch, but he did not have God's life in him. Therefore, he departed. His destiny was that of a dead branch. On to more positive things. Then we go to verse 7 and 8. It says, remain with Jesus and bear much fruit. Christ's words can condition and control a believer's mind so that his prayers conform with the Father's will. Since his prayer is in accord with God's will, the results are certain. It will be given you. Fulfilled prayer brings glory to the Father. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. A believer is motivated by the wonder of Jesus' love, which is patterned after the Father's love in its quality and extent. You know, remain in my love might seem to be mystical, but Jesus makes it very concrete. Obedience to the Father's commands is the same for a believer as it was for Jesus. Active dependence and loving obedience are the proper paths for all God's children. The vine dresser, or the Lord God, is in charge of caring for the vines. Jesus said, "This is the work of the Father." It is he who purges or prunes the branches so they will produce more fruit. You know, many Christians pray that God will make them more fruitful, but they don't enjoy the pruning process very much. You know, the greatest judgment God can give on us is not to prune us, to leave us go our own way, to do our own thing. But because God loves us, he prunes us and encourages us to bear more fruit for his glory. You know, I don't know much about pruning grapes or growing grapes, but I do enjoy gardening, and I have, in practical sense, really learnt the benefits of pruning. I've got a grapefruit tree at our back gate, and it kept growing all over the gate, and I got sick of cutting it back, so I took to it with the electric hedge clippers, and I really cut it back really heavily. And do you know that there's more grapefruit in that area now than there is in the rest of the tree? And also, I volunteered to prune my son's roses. They hadn't been pruned for a few years, and properly, and I really got stuck into them. And he'd come home from work and he said, "You've killed my roses." Like, I really cut them back hard. But do you know, the next season, he had the most beautiful, abundant blooms. So, as well as pruning in a practical sense on actual vines and plants, you know, it follows out that, you know, when we get pruned, it does help us. If branches could speak, they would confess that the pruning process hurts, but they would also rejoice that they were able to produce more and better fruit. Some say that the sap flowing through when you prune something and the sap flows out, that it's a type of weeping, like we weep when we're heavily pruned. It's a type of weeping, but that weeping turns into joy and much more fruitfulness. Your Heavenly Father is never nearer to you than when he's pruning you. Sometimes he cuts away the dead wood that might cause trouble. in two ways. He cuts away dead wood that can breed disease and insects, and he cuts away living tissue so that the life of the vine will not be dissipated and that the quality of the crop won't be jeopardized. In fact, the vine dresser will even cut away whole bunches of grapes so that the rest of the crop will be of higher quality. Pruning does not simply mean spiritual surgery that removes what is bad. It can also mean cutting away the good and the better so that we might enjoy the best. Yes, pruning hurts, but it also helps. We may not enjoy it, but we need it. How does the Father prune us? Sometimes he just uses the word to convict and cleanse us. Sometimes he must chasten us. And at a time it hurts when he removes something precious from us. But as the spiritual crop is produced, we see that the Father knew what he was doing. The more we abide in Christ, the more fruit we bear. The more fruit we bear, the more the Father has to prune us so that the quality keeps up with the quantity. God is glorified by a bigger crop that is a better crop. We must remember that the branches do not eat fruit. Others do. We're not producing fruit to please others, but to serve others. We should be the kind of people who feed others by our words and our works. In Proverbs 10:21, it says, "The lips of the righteous feed many." How we can really encourage people by kind words and lift them up by just an encouraging word. Real spiritual fruit has in it the seeds for more fruit. Spiritual fruit will go on producing from one life to another. Jesus had great joy in pleasing his Father by living a fruitful life. The purpose of his teaching was to give man an abundant life, not a joyless existence. The commands for the disciples to obey are for their joy. And towards the end of that chapter, Jesus again gives a command that we must have mutual love. Love each other. In verse 12 and again in verse 17, he again says, "Love as I've loved you." The most a person can do for a friend is to die for him. Such a death is a clear demonstration of love. And you know, our Lord Jesus demonstrated that love because he died for us. And so that we can be free of our sins, we can have our sins forgiven, we can rise up and love and serve him and live fruitful lives. Jesus didn't stop when he was speaking to his disciples that evening about the vine and the branches. He spoke to them and told them that they were his friends. They weren't servants, they were his friends. You know, there's two pictures of a believer. Branches and friends reveal both our privileges and responsibilities. You know, as branches, we have the privilege of sharing his life and the responsibility of abiding. As friends, we have the privilege of knowing his will and the responsibility of obeying. You know, how can we tell if we are abiding in Christ? Is there a special feeling? No. But there are special evidences. You know, unmistakable evidences. You know, you see, you know, our brothers and sisters and their, you know, just by their actions and words, you know that they are, you know, walking in the light and encouraging people and helping people. You know them by their fruits, we're told. And you see that they're producing fruit, good fruit. And also often, you know, some views say, well, you know, you accept the Lord Jesus and life's wonderful. Everything goes beautifully. No worries, no financial stresses. That is so wrong. You know, the Father tells us that he prunes us. And, you know, I've had been in churches where people have frowned on someone going through a really hard time and say, you know, what's your sin? And you know, that is so distressing when you hear people say this, because the Father tells us that he's with us all the way, but he prunes us. He corrects us, like a parent has to correct a child, so that they will grow up into good citizens. So the Father prunes us. A believer who is abiding in Christ has his prayers answered and experiences a deeper love, deepening love of Christ and for others. The abiding relationship is natural to the branch and the vine, but it must be cultivated. You can't just have a vine growing and let it grow by itself and do nothing with it. It's not automatic. It's got to be nurtured and pruned and looked after. Abiding in Christ demands worship, meditation on God's word, prayer, sacrifice, and service. We must not feel condemned, because as we read in verse 3, you know, Jesus said, "You are already cleaned because of the word I have spoken to you." And he says in another part, "Lo, I am with you always." So if we don't feel the Lord close to us, it's us that's moved, not Jesus. So he tells us his very last words to his disciples before he went on that tragic journey to his crucifixion was, "Love each other. Go and love each other, bearing much fruit." And I can testify that it is a joyful experience. There's lots of hardships, lots of difficulties, and life is never easy. But with the Lord Jesus with you, we can accomplish anything.